Jesus said, "My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." Let us pray. Loving Lord, as we come to think on your written word in Scripture, we pray that you would point us to the living word, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to begin by clearing away some undergrowth, because I know from conversations over the last week or so that there are, represented here today, a whole range of views. So I want to say some obvious things. The first is that I am not here to speak of monarchy as an institution. What any of us think of the institution, and I know there are a range of views, has no part in our service today. Nor am I here to speak of the royal family, like other families, like our families, yours and mine. They have their ups and downs, their rogues and their saints. None of that is on the agenda today. Nor am I here to speak of the institutional aspects of Her Majesty's life. If you want to know how her finances worked, or how many charities she was a patron of, or how many hospitals she opened, my goodness, how many? Or what she thought of the crown jewels, or if you want to know any of the details of the other stuff that came with her job, then watch a documentary. What we are here for is to honour a person. To that extent, this is an ordinary day in the life of a parish church. In fact, for some funerals and memorial services, the church is even fuller than it is today, expressing a love for the person who has died that is tangible because we knew them and walked with them as part of our little community. But here we all are, lots of us, to mourn, to remember, to celebrate a person we mostly knew through news channels. What we knew, what we know for sure, is that she was a very special person. It's a curiosity of our system that this one person was thrust by the twists and turns of distant history, by the power brokers of the past, and by the social mores of the last century, into a governing role she did not seek and we did not choose her for. For her, it was an invidious fate, one you would not wish on anyone. But that was the deal that fate dealt her. For us, as monarchs go, we hit the jackpot. It's beyond doubt that she played the hand that she had been dealt supremely well. The missteps can be counted on the fingers of one hand. I don't think one even needs all the digits. But the myriad personal contacts, kind words and warm deeds for which she is rightly known cannot be counted. It's a personal balance sheet of which any of us would be proud. She was indeed a special person, one who was loved and respected by the nation and the world, and deservedly so. In many ways, in her graciousness under pressure, in her commitment to duty, in her unfailing service, in these ways and many others, she was an example to us all. That example was possible, I believe, was only possible because of the love of Jesus Christ, his for her and hers for him. Those who experience that love know that it must overflow into our lives, and it did, into hers. Elizabeth Windsor was raised as a princess and became queen of our nation and many others. She was, if we are honest, surrounded and fawned upon by an endless stream of toadying sycophants. Our screens have been full of them this week. Her every need was catered for without limit. Would you and I, in such circumstances, have loved and served as she did? Or would we have sat back and enjoyed ourselves and done the minimum. I wonder what I would have done. What would you have done? What motivated her? What lifted her up and made her life of supreme service possible was her abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Every year, without fail, she spoke of him in her Christmas message. An oddity, at least it seems an oddity to me, of our mainstream media is that when her message was summarised on subsequent news programmes, the bulletin was always about the other stuff. One year that Her Majesty gave a special tribute to our armed forces, another year to our NHS workers, and so on. It was as if those who do not believe in him wished to avoid the key topic in her life, the thing she always returned to, the rock on which she stood. But she did not avoid it, so in remembering her, we should not either. If we wish to honour her, we should remember not just her deeds, but her motivation. And if we ever think that there are aspects of her life that we would do well to copy, and there are many such, then we should remember too that an attempt to do so, to copy her without her faith, will ultimately fail. She did not just believe in Jesus Christ as Saviour and trust in him as Lord. She drew her strength and resolve from his abiding love for her. Those of us who follow him know, really know, in our daily lives that we are loved beyond measure by him whose love is limitless in scope. For her, our passage from the Gospel written by St. John would have rung completely true. Jesus is the bread of life who sustains all things. He never drives away any who come to him. And he came with a task that continues to this day. My Father's will, he said, is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. In order that we might flourish, each of us needs solid ground. Children whose early lives are beset by disorder struggle in life. We know this. The total assurance given when we turn to Christ as Saviour, when we know his deep love for us and what he has planned for us, that gives a springboard, an impetus, a zest for a life of service. That is what Her Majesty showed in abundance. I thank God for her, but more than that, I thank God for his love for her, a love from which we have all benefited. And what now? What is her legacy? I've no doubt that the historians will find events aplenty to write about and will endlessly speculate on what her real contribution was. Did she influence this government decision or that? Was she silent when she could have spoken? Were the limitations of a constitutional monarchy a factor in what we have become? But all of these things are for them, not for us now. Her legacy for us is different. For us here, now, we can take on board her personal example, not just the what, but the why. Not just what she did wonderfully and said so over so many years, but the motivation within. The welcome that she received from Jesus Christ is there for us all, for the rich in their castles and the pauper at the gate, and for all of us in between the two. There are no exceptions. It's never too late to turn to Christ and experience the love that Her Majesty knew so well. The writer of the book of the Bible called Lamentations knew this too. This poetry was written over 2,500 years ago. Jerusalem was being laid waste. The population was decimated by invaders, and those who survived were taken as slaves to Babylon. The troubles of humanity are never new, are they? We are set on repeat. In their troubles, the author of Lamentations wrote, "Because of the Lord's great love for us, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning." The Lord is waiting for you this morning. His compassions never fail. The love of Jesus Christ never fails. The Lord, writes the Apostle Paul in that, his second letter to the Corinthians, he wrote, "The Lord is good to the one who seeks him." So we honour Her Majesty by mourning, yes, and we seek to honour her today with our music and liturgy and prayers. All this is good and right. We should do so. But most of all, honour her by considering what she believed and making it your own. Honour her by considering the claims of Christ, for he is waiting for you. Jesus said, "Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." Amen.